Hello and welcome to GM Talk Episode 4, recorded October 3rd, 2010. On the show today we have Josh Connolly.
Hello.
Zach Reedy.
Hey.
Jack Brockley.
Hello.
Andrew McCluskey.
Hi.
And myself, Philip Gamble.
Anything I or any other participants say in this podcast, GM Talk Episode 4, is entirely unrelated to Yo-Yo Games as a company or any of its employees and should not be regarded as such.
So, the competition is now down to about 50 games. The next stage is reducing it to the final 10.
10 or 20. I'm not sure on that. Don't quote me.
And then after that, there's going to be mystery celebrity judges to pick the top three games that will receive the cash prizes. One thing different for this competition, as opposed to the previous ones, is that there is the online list of games that are still in the competition, so you can watch how the judging progresses. So we've seen which games have been eliminated at which stage so far, which I think is quite interesting, although it would have been obvious, pretty obvious, which ones would go out first anyway, with the unplayable ones and the ones that...
Well, that's just to sort of generally sort of address some complaints.
There were quite a few comments after the last one, weren't there, about some of the games that were chosen.
Well, the fact there was about 5 weeks of radio silence, and then all of a sudden, winners. But, yeah, makes sense.
Well, obviously it would take a long time to go through and play, you know, 300-odd games or whatever, but...
I have a game that I like that I was keeping an eye on before, like, even when they were developing it. It's called Around the World in 80 Days by I Love Fuzz, apparently,
yeah,
his name is.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Around the World in 33 Days.
Oh, really? Maybe I was thinking the movie. Okay, 33 Days, apparently. I really like that game. I like the graphics and the movement and all that. I thought it was really well done.
It's a platformer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to play that. Yeah.
Yeah, but even though the physics are nice and how the player squashes and stuff, it makes it hard to jump, which is pretty vital in a platformer. Although it's not completely a platformer game, it does have different things to do for each day.
I'm just looking through the competition.yoyogames.com, where you can scroll through the games that's still in it. It's quite interesting just to look at the screenshots and see how the different types of games there are. It's quite a wide variety. Normally think, oh, most of the games are platformers or something, but here there is quite a lot of different types. Do you guys want to talk about the Game Maker Community game? Because I went on the forum earlier today, and I saw that they... So basically, they decided to abandon their original project because it was too ambitious and had been running for so many months, and they'd released a demo.
It was
barely playable, and that was, I'm not sure how long they'd been working on it, but it was something like 9 months or something they'd been working on it.
9 months, yeah. About 2 days of work, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
2 days of work and a massive novel.
They had a basic engine, but that was about it.
A basic engine and a bit of a level. That was it.
And a bunch of ideas thrown together in a big topic.
The main problem is that sort of thing just isn't destined to work, ever.
Yeah. Especially on the Game Maker community.
I think the problem is that they just went too big. I mean, there was a load of people of drastically varying skill trying to sort of bring very little planning into sort of a big project. And it just wouldn't work. And didn't. They're making something smaller now, aren't they?
Yeah, I went to look today, and they said they were going to start on a smaller project, and at the moment I think they're deciding which smaller project to do. I mean, there's a list of different concepts, which I've just posted in the chat. They've got on the list mini games collection.
I think a mini games collection would be quite possibly the best thing they could do.
Yeah,
that's basically everyone working on their own, though, isn't it? And then just shoving it together afterwards, which I suppose...
Yeah, but that would probably be the best thing that they could do. I mean, it reduces any need for the sort of teamwork, which is probably their biggest downfall by quite a way. If they just have one or two sort of higher-up people that are sort of willing to collect all the mini-games together and turn them into a proper game, it would be quite nice.
I mean, I think that would work, but I think it also goes against the whole Game Maker Community game ethos of, you know, the actual idea of doing it if everyone's just going to work on their own and then stick them together, you know, what's the point, really?
Yeah, but you will go against the ethos if the ethos isn't going to work.
They really don't know what they're doing, because this list has got seven different ideas on them, and some of them are, you know, totally different. There's a beat-em-up game, a space shooter game, a side-scrolling platformer, mini-game collection. They've just got all these ideas and...
has listed every single possible opportunity, ever, apart from maybe religious beat-em-up.
They've generated a tremendous amount of posts on the game maker community for whatever little work they've actually managed to come out with. I mean, there's about 10,000 posts on there.
They could probably do a concept similar to Pokemon quite easily, right? It'd be like an RPG, but sort of, it'd be really easy to divide things, and most people could just work on making monsters or creatures or whatever.
Yeah, I guess whatever you do, you're only a small number of people are actually going to be able to work on the main bits of the game, and then other people with lesser skills, for example, could work on like level design or designing characters or...
Well, that's what happens with pretty much anything, and that sort of, like, any commercial game would probably just be a couple of people sort of finalising everything.
I think the problem with the Game Maker Community game was that they just tried to be too ambitious and include everyone without actually thinking about how it would work.
Yeah, or what the people would be able to contribute, given their skill and everything. And perhaps even their attention levels.
And their commitment, I guess, as well. If they turn up and say they want to do it, and then...
I bet there are a lot of people that joined it just like get a purple title.
Oh, you get a purple title, do you?
Well, most of them had a sort of... I don't know if it was purple. Might have been
it's orange.
Gold or something.
There's orange,
Orange,
yeah.
But it makes you stand out when you're in the online list or whatever, so... I'm sure there were a couple of people that sort of... the similar sort of people that would... so it would sort of make a topic because they hit the 1,000th post and think they're special. That's mostly a direct reference to Yo-Yo Games forums.
Oh, Yo-Yo Games forums recently, I mean, I occasionally look at it, but I went there the other day, one topic was talking about girls' breast sizes, one was talking about the legal issues of selling your games, and all the advice in it was absolute rubbish. And one was, you know, can I reuse this song in my game? Oh yeah, sure, yeah.
It takes immaturity to make a topic about tits. It takes real immaturity to just think that any mention of them is perverse.
I didn't read the full topic.
90% of any topic like that is kids that sort of think that it's sick because it's naked ladies and ew. Why would you want to touch something that has milk coming out of it? That sort of thing.
13,914 topics in the general chat section.
It probably isn't, actually. I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years back they had a sort of counter flaw, and I don't know if they ever recovered from it.
Well, the general chat is by far the most posted in forum there, and...
I can't mention Game Maker on iDevices, or maybe apart from MMM, buy it, it'll be good. Well,
so is MMM going to go up in the App Store soon, or...?
Well, without sort of breaching too many confidentiality laws, I'll just mention that it's not done yet. There's quite a lot that's got to be done to it. But it will be a lot more like Remaddening than Madness, Madness, Madness. Mm-hmm. And it won't be called either of those names. It'll be something slightly different. And it's not Mini Madness.
No, it's because you've taken like the engine, but then just rebuilt the game for the smaller screen, I guess.
Well, initially I took the Madness, Madness, Madness engine because I was having to use Game Maker 7. Although since then it's been upgraded, so I now use 8. So I've basically changed it.
In the video, I didn't see I had a hard time seeing the controls, like with your fingers. What were they? I'm just interested.
It was just a set of 3 little hotspots on the screen. Like, there was left and right in the bottom left, and then jump in the bottom right.
Oh, okay.
They weren't decorated or anything. They'd have some sort of distinguishment from the rest of the screen.
So it was okay. Just like a little on-screen keyboard kind of thing?
Basically, yeah. That was kind of meant to be demonstrating that games won't just be like Skydiver with just sort of...
Yeah.
Man, it's not just like mouse-only games.
Couldn't you incorporate the iPhone tilting mechanism to make it that? Because it's not like it's that much of the main part of the game, because all you do is go left or right, so if really you could just tilt it either way, and then you just press anywhere on the screen to jump, and then that would be...
Completely honest, I find tilting controls a pain in the arse. I'm sure they would be implemented. I'm not going to say anything based on that, but I don't want them.
If you're tilting all the time, it's hard to look at the screen, I think, to keep track of what's going on.
Yeah, but that's not like a core part of the gameplay. All you're doing is going left or right. It's not like you've got to drive around a circuit. You don't have to be completely accurate. You're either going left or right. It's not like you have to totally right at a 90 degree angle or anything.
I'd still find it incredibly awkward, to be honest. I mean, the people always complain about using touch controls because of the lack of force feedback. Well, tilt,
you could always put
another step further away from that.
You'd always put options for tilt or touch.
Yeah, could do. I mean, that's definitely something to think. Although, once again, I can't really say anything based on the company's intentions to do with touching. So, just consider it for now that the main controls will be using on-screen keyboard, basically.
If you have both the left and right keys in the bottom left corner, then it might be a bit inaccurate when people want to change direction.
I'm sure you can move the positions of the buttons if you want.
I can do that, yes. I can do that. Someone else can do that.
Now, what about your online high scores? Would you be able to implant that now, or...?
Nope. Don't think so. Anyway, I mean, it basically depends on the restrictions for iPod apps. But, I don't know the restrictions for that. I mean, I'm sure that if games on them can have that sort of stuff, then it would be done. And if
they
didn't do that, then I would do so. But that's mostly a company decision, not my own.
Will you be able to add achievements?
Well, unofficially, yeah. I'd almost certainly be doing that.
Well, I mean, that incorporated into the...
iPods don't have an achievement system.
I saw Chevy Ray's game, Skull Pogo, on the iPhone had achievements. I saw a screenshot.
That was probably unofficial. Like,
It looked like it was sort of official, but it might not have been.
There aren't official achievements on anything like that. Like, it would be pretty much similar to a couple of things I've made, which you can have unofficial achievements. Just a little thing in the options screen, which makes it a bit more playable.
That'd be better than Remaddening.
Well, yeah. Remaddening had no achievements of any kind. It was just beating other people up.
I wonder what achievements would be. You landed on a spike 50 times.
Will you be incorporating, more new features that you haven't... That hasn't been in the Remaddening?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't say anything on sort of third, but there is at least one thing which is already implemented in the game which hasn't been seen yet. I can't say anything about that, though.
So will the background music... Will you create the background music because...
No, I've recently obtained a piece of public domain music which I'm using.
So were the licensing restrictions on the original music, then? You couldn't use them in games that would be sold or something, was it?
Kovox's music you can only use in a free game if it's attributed and you leave a link to some page which links to their music. But yeah, I couldn't use that. I mean, probably could do with purchasing a license for it, but I found a sort of piece of public domain music which does the job quite nicely, so might as well save the company a few hundred quid. Something I should probably mention. There isn't actually such a thing as a PSP game maker or an iPod game maker or anything like that. There is, it's all done Yo-Yo Games side. Although there will be announcement on that fairly shortly.
There's no way to, like, export it to, like, a PSP type thing, right?
No.
Okay.
I'll just mention a few things which I believe have already been mentioned. If you were sort of having your game published, then you'd probably be sort of, we'd be doing some of the work, you'd be doing some other work, and then we'd work out things like how to get over the restrictions or things of a console.
I've seen a lot of people on the game, like, assuming that there'll be buttons.
Export to PSP, export to iOS, whatever.
You need to be sort of...
And then people that think they're really clever, sort of believing that it'll cost to export these things. Just to cover the licensing fees. But yeah, that won't happen.
It's quite. I think it's quite interesting. We see a comment from someone saying, oh, I always wanted to make games for PSP and iPhone, and now I can. Yay, thank you, Yo-Yo Games.
All I need really to qualify is that the only reason that you can't do that is because you sort of literally can't. That isn't Yo-Yo Games' choice. It's to do with everyone else and, well, there's plenty of factors. SDKs, the inability to test, the inability to make certain things. It's just not viable.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the only people with the best quality games are going to be able to get their game on the App Store anyway, so having people being able to export them themselves might be pointless.
On that front, there was a recent post on the Yo-Yo Games blog by Mike Daly, and he said that Stuart would be contacting some people to some of the creators of the best games to talk them through the process, I guess, of getting their games onto these new platforms.
I think I remember seeing this person called Barnov on the Yo-Yo Games blog. I think he said he was being contacted, and he's known for creating many good games as a game maker.
Oh yeah. Thanks for the clarification. When I got that mail from Stuart, I was rather cautious, as it looked like it could have been a scam. Looking forward to publishing details. So that's one person that's been contacted. I would assume there's, you know, a group of people, 10 or so or something.
I think his game, that Goo game, would be suitable for iPhone or PSP.
Crazy Over Goo.
Yeah.
I quite like the pirate one he made. I can't think what that's called.
Yeah, that's
Double it. Yeah.
Don't know how easy that would be to play on an iPhone.
Yeah. That's understandable. Yeah.
I've noticed that the Yo-Yo Games Spotlight is being actively updated now.
Yeah, that's all to do with me. I was told to be put in charge of it because I've played quite a few games on the site. I know I'm a pretty sort of regular user there. And a lot of people have been complaining that sort of it doesn't get updated much. I mean, that's probably the main reason that Madness hit 44,000 plays or however many it's got. Because it just got sort of attached to the spotlight for several months. But, I try to update it every 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, and I've noticed you don't only spotlight new games, but classic games that have been a long time.
Well, that's mainly just because I've never seen them on the spotlight before, and I think they're worth the attention. But I've also sort of slightly lowered my quality boundary. I'm sort of now putting on games that I just think are fun to play, even if only for about 10 minutes. There are a couple that are on the spotlight at the moment. On top of that, I also I try to mention games which may not quite be feature-worthy by themselves, but are from creators that I think are noteworthy.
When you take them off the spotlight, will they be featured or not?
Yes, they'll be featured once they're off the spotlight.
So are you putting the games on all for 3 weeks and then just switching them, or does some stay on for longer if you think they're better?
Well, it depends really. It's not sort of a set 3 weeks. It just seems to be about 3 weeks that I thought I've managed to get the 10 games that I think I can replace them with. Though Sandy has recently mentioned that it sort of might be worth partially updating it more sort of quickly. So yeah, it's sort of updating it every so often just to add some more noteworthy games, some more featured games as well.
I think that's quite good because there was a period when for a good few months it was the same games, and it got quite boring. So I looked at all those games already and was wanting something else to be there. It just makes the site look a bit stale, I think.
There is a lot of games on the website that deserve to be seen but really haven't been, and that's what I'm trying to do with the spotlight. Getting people that deserve the attention that they're not getting, give them it. As well as, in some cases, like with Cyclus, getting a game which is already very well known and giving it a bit more, because it's very good.
So will the next update to the Spotlight feature include the games from the competition, because they'll be released by then?
Yeah, that's what I'm sort of... I was hesitant to do it this time because I was thinking that sort of the competition might be out, but as it happens, there's actually a lot of people that are busy at the moment within the company. So the competition is going to take a tinsy bit more time, and in the meantime, I've put some more games up on the spotlight for it, just to keep it fresh.
I think we should talk about the Decompiler now, because that's been, sitting there.
Yeah, I'm going to stick firmly out of this one.
Some of you may know that a GameMaker 8 Decompiler has recently been released. It was released at the end of last month, and effectively it will take in a executable file created in GameMaker 8. If you drag a file into it, it will produce you a GMK file in much the same way as the earlier GameMaker 7 decompiler, so then you have access to the game as it was made with all the resources and code. The T-Compiler was written by Zach, who's here with us today. So I guess what I would want to ask first is, why did you decide to make the T-Compiler?
I don't remember exactly why I started. I think I was just curious about something internal with GameMaker, and then I just continued on because I thought it was interesting.
Is there any ways of protection right now? Is there anything that you can do to protect it?
Yeah, there's the anti-decompiler by Score Under.
That works for GameMaker 8.
Yeah, I've heard people say it doesn't always work, like it throws errors and stuff, but that's never happened to me, so.
So how much coding experience and knowledge did you need to create that decompiler?
Really wasn't all that hard. As far as how difficult it was to get the information about the internal format, a few people helped me out, and there was documentation on the GMK stuff, so the rest of it was just working with streams and file operations. So it wasn't all that hard.
So did you kind of create games and then look at the code and then see what you could match up, or was all the documentation already there?
No, not all the documentation was already there. The stuff that I did have had a lot of unknown values in it, so I had to make a lot of games and just plug in values, see what changed. And a lot of information's lost when it's compiled, so that led to hours of confusion.
How long ago did you start work on the decompiler?
A month or two ago, I don't remember. Right before school started, I remember that much.
I remember seeing something posted about tiles that were encrypted or something like that. I didn't read a lot about it, but is that, like, could you decompile tiles, or could you, like, get them tiles from the executable and then put it into a GMK?
More or less. You can get the background information, but there's two version indicators and backgrounds, which I don't know because I've never checked, but I think tile information used to be there, but it's not anymore. I think Mark changed that in GameMaker 8. So yeah, information there is lost.
So that means that, like, I haven't used the decompiler, but does that mean that you couldn't, like, it doesn't extract tiles?
It extracts tiles. You have to set up the tiles yourself. It doesn't do it for you.
Oh, okay.
In the GM7 decompiler, I noticed that when I used it, it didn't group all the sprites and objects like it was in the original GMK. Is it the same in this GM8 decompiler?
Yeah. When the games are compiled, the directory structure or grouping structure, that's all lost. So there's no way to recover that.
One of the things you wrote about when you said that you were working on the decompiler was that as well as talking about some of the inefficiencies in it, you talked about that Pro Mode was simply a flag, and you were going to create something that would enable users to switch their game from light to pro. Did you abandon that idea, or are you still planning to do that?
I'm not going to do it anymore. When a screenshot initially got leaked, a moderator on the GMC contacted me because he figured out who it was, and so I was talking to him throughout the development to make sure I wasn't crossing over any lines or anything, any more than I already was, I guess. But I told him that I was thinking about implementing something like a light to pro feature, and he said that went over too much into being a crack, so it's easily implemented, but I never completed it. I removed it from the release version.
I think that's probably a wise decision there. So do you think that Yo-Yo Games will release a patch, or do you think they won't?
I don't know. Yo-Yo Games, as far as I know, has never released any patches for GameMaker. It really isn't all that big of a deal as long as they at least try to fix some of the inconsistencies in the next version. I mean, anyone can crack software. Encryption's just another step to protecting it, but everything can be cracked. So I guess in the end it doesn't really matter if they change the encryption or not.
How different was the encryption in GameMaker 8 from GameMaker 7?
I don't remember. I remember looking at the encryption in GameMaker 7 when I was writing a runner for a different platform. Because it was reading the GMKs. I think the only real difference in GameMaker 8 is it goes over a second time, but I'd have to check that.
I would have thought newer games would incorporate some more security given the decompiler of GameMaker 7.
To fix it, personally, I'd just add checksums of some sort. I don't really know how you protect against that other than changing the encryption and possibly making two different runners, one for light and one for pro, so it's no longer a flag. But, you know, then that leads to other problems. So, as far as protecting against it, I don't really know.
Now, I don't really know a lot about, like, the... I'm not sure what the word would be, like, the background, like, like how it kind of works and all the compiling and all that. I'm not really up in that, so I don't really know how it works. But do you think that it would be like an easy thing to release a quick patch, or do you think that would be hard?
I don't know how GameMaker works because I've never seen the source code. Just saw it run through Ollie Debug, but I don't know. That's not something I can comment on.
Mike Daly has written a couple of posts on his blog recently where he's been talking a bit about the runner and addressing some of the issues you said, so it looks like they are going to be working on making a more efficient runner for the future, but it sounds like that's going to be in GameMaker 9 later in the future rather than anything in the near future.
Yeah. The issues that he's addressing there, actually, I don't think had anything to do with the decompiler. Because when the video that I've had on the blog, I mentioned something about the inefficiency of GameMaker on Windows, and I posted a link to the post that he replied to on his blog. So I don't know, I don't think it had anything to do with the decompiler there, but it's great to see that they're changing things.
So you don't care about being able to crack games, you want your games to add security, make it better?
Security really isn't all that big of an issue for me. I personally just want to see performance improvements. I mean, I know Yo-Yo Games wants to improve security, and I know most people do.
Does anyone really care about if their game is decompiled?
Time Online 2 Project was cancelled. One of the reasons was because of the GameMaker 8 decompiler, whereas other people have, you know, don't really seem worried. They say, hey, you can decompile my game. But
from what I read on Slime Online, though, it seems like most of the reason was that he'd lost interest, though. I mean, the decompiler comment was sort of, it seemed off the cuff.
Yes, because I can't remember the original post, but it said blah 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 and the decompiler, I think.
I mean, well, if you think about it, an online game is probably going to be most affected. Because with anything else, you might just get the odd little idiot that steals a bit of code or whatever. But with an online game, it can actually be ruining for everyone else as well, because they could be hacking themselves to higher levels or more points or whatever.
That's just what I was about to say. I think it would definitely affect an online game more. And then offline games, maybe if the creator is worried about someone stealing their content or images or whatever, that would affect that. But other than that, I think definitely online games would be more affected.
I remember it being a problem with Slime Online. I used to absolutely love the game, and I played it tons. But it would always cheese me off if I spent several days accumulating, like, a couple of thousand points, only to have someone hit 10,000 because they'd decompiled the game and given themselves 10,000. But that's not really a problem with the decompiler. It's a problem with the people that use it.
I found that Slime Online had really good, like, anti-hack, except for once the decompiler came out, they kind of... went down.
I'd love the game though. I'd miss it quite a lot, especially for music, actually.
Couldn't he just use that via Entity compiler created by Orlando?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you lost inspiration, really. The decompiler remark, as far as I know, is just a scapegoat. You know, something to say, well, this is the final straw for me. Because I linked to the anti-decompiler on the decompiler page for anyone who didn't want their games to be decompiled, because I've had my own games decompiled, so, yeah.
Going back to magazines, then?
It's our obligatory look at magazines.
Yeah, so what?
Even though they're not as good as they used to be.
How do you pronounce the Game Maker backwards one?
Regame Mag.
Regame?
Regame.
Regame Mag, okay.
Just the way that makes sense. It's not... I know a lot of people suggested it might be Rekame or Rekame or Rekame or whatever, but it's just...
It's just Game Maker backwards.
Yeah, pronounce Game Maker backwards and you're sorted. It's Rekame Mag, put it that way.
So I guess there's three magazines at the moment, G-Mag, the incorrectly spelled Knick-Knack Mag, and Rekame Mag.
I think there are a couple of others, very sort of obscure, but...
We've had the GM Indie magazine and their other magazine have gone as well now, and they're on Rekame.
There's also This Is Indie.
Oh, yes. That's got lots of fancy pictures and stuff.
Yeah, I put a comment on the Game Maker blog about that one. I really liked the look of it. It was really well done. The content was a little bit... it was alright. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad.
In a magazine.
But some people were saying, not true who said that, needs to be more uniform.
Yeah, there are a couple of amusing topics on GMC about that one. I can't remember if it was Zot or something like that, but mentioned that it was the most highly polished turd that they'd ever seen. I can't remember who said it.
Yeah, that was on the Game Maker blog.
That's the one. Yeah, that sort of made me smile quite a lot.
I think it was Zot.
So, Jack, is Overbyte magazine well and truly dead now, or might it make an appearance again sometime in the future?
No, it's well and truly dead.
I thought that was pretty good. I was kind of sad that it went down.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen anymore. I'm not going to make any magazines. I'm not going to try and do any projects, because I know I'm not going to be able to.
Doesn't look like RC is that interested either.
Yeah.
It's quite a shame about GM Tech and that, although that's sort of their long dead.
They're long gone, yeah, but it is a shame, yeah. There were two of them.
They were very highly regarded, and all of a sudden now you got crap like Rekame Mag. What the hell is that?
So, what might be coming in the next Rekame Mag, then?
I can give you a full feature list, if you like. I've actually got it open at the moment, because I was working on it. Okay. Right, so let's have a look. First article, The Power of Two. How making a sequel to your game could be a good move.
Well, you're the expert on that front, aren't you, I think, with all your series of games.
Sequels that don't change anything and just capitalise on the name.
Yeah, so you're basically tricking gamers.
Yeah, I pretend that you're not meant to be doing that. I basically give out tons of advice that I don't follow myself. But don't tell anyone. The main reason that this isn't going to be released until after the competition is because I'm actually doing a very short review, as in just a sort of paragraph of text, on 30 of the games that I found fun. I'm actually writing this before the results, purely because I wanted to be as unbiased as possible. But I've not... they're not in order or anything. It's just 30 games that I found fun. There are more than 30 I did find fun. But they're just randomly chosen from those.
I was going to say, have you played all the games in the competition? Surely
yes.
Not.
Yes, I've played them all.
Were there any games where you... You load it up and then you saw the game and then you close it straight away?
No, I did try to give the games at least a couple of minutes just in case they sort of, they got better, basically. The last article is Your Game is Like a Drug, which is sort of about Minecraft and I also mentioned things like Little Big Planet and Spelunky and how to make your game as addictive as you can. A few features that you can add which are pretty cheap and easy to do but really help, like online high scores and things like that.
I don't think there's anything you can really do to guarantee it'll become addictive, though. I guess it's
you can't guarantee it, but there are certain things you can do to help it. You could make a game which is pretty good, but you might not want to play a few times. If you just suddenly add online high scores, then...
That will add an extra bit and keep people coming back to try and beat their friends.
You can do it through updates or whatever. I've got an interview with... I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. Ted Lauterbach. Lauterbach?
I pronounce it Lauterbach as well.
I pronounce it Rotten Tater. I haven't actually got the response back yet, but I know he's working on them, and so that will be fairly soon. I can add that, and that will probably be before the end of the competition, obviously. So, but yeah, I've reviewed three games fully called Cool Dog, which some of you may have played. It was made nearly 8 years ago, I believe, with Game Maker 4. It was a staple on the old Game Maker website, which Overmars ran. But I've got a review of that, a game called Virus, and a game which is a spin-off of the Katamari series. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it.
I can't say I am. No.
It depresses me that nobody is. Nobody ever knows Katamari. It's a thoroughly brilliant series, though. But yeah, I saw this and I had to sort of review it.
The magazine will be released after the competition results come out, then.
Yeah. Providing it's finished, which I presume it will, it'll just be pretty much, as soon as I know that the results are released, I'll release this. It's just a sort of matter of, it's a formality, really. I mean, I would have released it before, but since I'm a judge, I can't. And then, the other couple of things I've got is the puzzle. I'm going to spot the difference. Two Spelunky screenshots, six changes. Then, at the very end, the funny section... I use funny in the sort of sparsest possible manner because it's probably rubbish. Game Maker versus iPad.
Game Maker versus iPad.
10 points, and it shows that Game Maker wins 9 out of 10 of them.
Oh, can you can't compare hardware to a software,
yes,
sorry.
I think he just did.
it's a sort of jokey section. Like okay. Like, Game Maker wins on some of the points, like self-explanatory product title, the fact that it has a free version, whereas you can't get a free iPad, and the fact that it has a name which can be shortened to 2 characters without causing confusion due to the natural 2-character shortening which would be given to another product in the company's line. But the iPad does win on one section only, which is, it has a name which can be the inspiration for a wide range of menstruation-related jokes. But yeah. That's Game 3.
Well, I think we'll all look forward to reading that when it's out. Okay, so do you want to tell us a bit about GMAG?
Well, I had a little look at the latest issue of GMAG, which is issue 7, and that was released on the 2nd of October, which was yesterday. It contained 13 pages. It had a purple theme colour. I'm not sure how long that GMAG has had a purple theme colour, but it did have a green theme colour.
Been a couple of issues.
Yeah. So this is very interesting news that they've changed it to purple. Niall won't be happy because his favourite colour is green. So basically it reiterates all the GM news you found on Game Maker blog, just not as well written.
It has some reviews as well though. I'm looking here, it's got reviews of God Watch, Simple Sync, Time Still 2.
Yeah, the reviews are fairly short, and there's 2 per page, and the pages are small because he's now using MS PowerPoint instead of OpenOffice because of some image problem. The writing style is pretty basic, not that descriptive, but it's to the point, and you can read it.
It doesn't have as many errors in it as other magazines have.
Yeah, if you compare it to Nicknack and...
GMAG comes out quite often. I'm not sure what the release schedule is, but it's pretty regular. I'm not sure if it's every other week or every week. Knickknack magazine, I don't know anything about. I gave up reading it. Let's talk about
it. I read it for my own amusement.
So what was in the latest Knickknack? I can't remember. No.
I read it for my amusement, not for paying attention.
I guess it kind of makes sense.
I think there was, there was an interview with Brian Fetcher.
Yes, I think I read the interview with Brian Fetcher, yes.
Yes. In which he sort of just repeatedly slagged off Yo-Yo Games and then had to end the interview quickly because he had a flight to catch. Yes.
Okay, so talking of Brian Fetcher, we've had the results of the Game Maker Survey 2010.
Yeah.
Which was
the primary survey result was that the survey is 100% bullshit.
I started taking it originally, but then gave up because it didn't really make sense. But apparently, I'm just trying to find the figure here.
3,003.
Yeah, apparently 3,003 people took it, which is unbelievably high.
At least they're innovating, because I don't think anyone's done something like that before.
Yeah, I think you're right on that front. There hasn't been an annual survey or something, which is quite a good idea, but I just think in this case it was very poorly implemented.
Yeah, I just wish there was people better than GMND would do that sort of stuff.
So one of the more interesting things to come out of the survey results was that...
The end of it.
was that more than 98% of people, I've got written here, would like to see an instant chat messenger pop-up where users can ask for help from other Game Maker users on demand, built into Game Maker.
Oh my god.
All I know is that if they implement that, I want an option to turn it off.
Yeah.
Then, 98% is an incredible number. I mean, if I answered that one, I would say no, because it would just be annoying me. If I wanted to chat to someone, I would do it on MSN or Skype or Facebook or something. I wouldn't want to do it necessarily within...
I wouldn't want to have about 100,000 little children that were suddenly abusing it.
They have that in this Stencil program. It's pretty useful, but the only reason there's no spam in it is because it's in closed beta at the moment. So it'll be home to spam if it was using gaming.
I don't see why people would expect a chat feature to be implemented. If you wanted a chat, you just use another chat program and switch between them. It seems... I don't want to give up a third of my screen or whatever to a chat window. Although I did see somewhere someone had written that you could easily create one and add it into the tutorials folder of Game Maker, and then you could get it to appear on the right hand side where the beginner's tutorial is when you first launch Game Maker, which was quite a good idea, I thought, if you were interested in having a chat there.
Would that be done through an IRC channel?
Well, I don't know, that anyone could just, you know, set something up there. And...
One thing I would quite like, which I must sort of disclaim quickly, is completely off the cuff from Yo-Yo Games in any way. I would quite like to see a collaboration mode, where you can sort of, you basically both share the same window, you can sort of both work on the same editable. Plenty of people could be doing it at once. Just make teamwork so much easier.
I guess it would be pretty complicated then, because, I mean, if you think of something like Google Docs, which we use to compile the notes for this show, we can all go in that and edit it at the same time, but that's just...
slow as hell.
effectively, that's just plain text, bullet points, links, and colours and whatever, but with Game Maker, you've got all the objects and sprites and editors and...
Well, that is just basically a pipe dream, but that's something that I think would be nice if they ever decided to implement it.
I don't think it's realistic to come any time in the next 5 years, if at all, but that would certainly be useful for things like the Game Maker Community Game and...
I don't think it would for them like that.
You don't?
It would be too easy for someone to just come in and wreck the hell out of it. I think it would be sort of like small teams that trust each other and know that nobody's going to mess it up. Just make it easier than having to keep sort of sending the editable over to other people.
Well, Google Docs does a good job of that, and if it was the same thing in plan for Game Maker, I think that'd be good. Like, you invite people, so that way just random people can come on, right?
Yeah, Game Maker has loads of windows and stuff, so...
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to see... You wouldn't see, like, all the windows that the other people had open.
No.
You'd just be seeing what they were working on at the time, and you could chat to them, or you could sort of... You could even sort of work together on something, like if you both opened the sprite editor on a certain sprite, perhaps you could see them work, you could do it too.
So, like, Game Maker could, like, split everything up and then someone could edit something, sort of, while behind someone else's back, sort of, like, so they couldn't see you were doing it, and then sort of update it while they're using it.
Having just thought that, I've just thought of a nice feature that I think could be added. I don't think anyone has ever mentioned it, so I'm going to have to tell the people that tomorrow. How do you think about the ability to use the canvas, you know, the bit which currently just says Game Maker loads of times? What about using that as a whiteboard?
How do you mean? So you could, like, type notes onto it?
Yeah. You could type, or you could draw, or even, but just using it as a sort of planning tool.
It wouldn't be bad. It's not being used for anything now, so...
Yeah. Well, it's just, at the moment, it's just the sort of void where windows get opened, but I won't mention that, actually.
You'd have to have an option for that, because it'd annoy people, probably.
Oh, yeah, but for the most part, if you didn't want to use it, it would just be a white space.
Zach wrote in the chat that no one had talked about Geomindy's demise or death or whatever you'd like to call it. So I guess we could just say a bit about that now, that GMND, who produced some radio shows and magazines and had a website and a news blog, they are no more.
They still have their news blog, which I've forgotten the name of. Gazette, that's the one.
Gazette is still running, but the magazines and radio shows aren't.
Yeah, but most of them sort of weren't running anyway. I mean, I know that the magazine had been on hiatus for quite a while. The Digest, Gamingers Digest. But it's odd, the Gazette seems to sort of go through periods of complete inactivity.
I think now it's being run by Ratboy.
Ratboy 129.
No, I just see they've got a post, Jesse Bunbrooks, working at Geo Games.
I wonder where they got that info from.
Oh, no, well, they quoted Bunbrooks' blog.
Yeah.
I wonder if they just sort of suddenly looked on 2DQ's blog and suddenly thought, oh, look!
Yeah, I think they must have done, yeah.
Yeah. There's no other ways they could have found that piece of news, was there?
So that was before GameMaker blog posted?
No.
Oh. Well, they would have gone on Game of Kabog and then gone through that to
Jack, that's what I was trying to say.
I thought...
Joke obvious.
it wasn't there, and the first time I've seen it, so...
I think the best thing that came out of GMND was the podcast, and that's dead now, so...
Yeah, they had a couple of a very good podcasts with people from Geo Games. They had, I think they had one with Sandy and then another one with Mike and Russell, if I remember correctly, and they were quite good. They had some comments straight from Yo-Yo Games about the future, and it was quite interesting because no one else had ever had a podcast with Yo-Yo Games people on before. Oh yes, one other thing here, which I've just we haven't got to it yet, but I've seen on the list, is that a game maker game called Dust Force is in the final of the IndiePub Games competition.
I entered that and I went nowhere.
Yeah, I saw you enter. There were quite a lot of entries, about 80 or so entries, and I was thinking, should I go through all these and see which of the Game Maker games? And then I thought, no, it will just take too long. So,
I think it was you, Phil, that mentioned you were quite surprised that a competition that only got like sort of 80 entries with a cash prize of $100,000.
Yeah, when you compare it to the Yo-Yo Games competition, which I think the cash prize on that comes to less than £2,000, and that had I don't know how many 300 entries or something, and then this one run by IndiePubGames.com had something like 80.
Well, I guess the main reason for that is just the sort of the widespreadness. I mean, with IndiePub Games, it's a fairly obscure website. It's run by a publisher that are known for releasing some of the most games ever. It's just sort of fairly obscure, whereas Yo-Yo Games hits 10,000 of users a day for its Game Maker. We'll see Game Maker think, oh god, I could win some money with this. Let's do it. And they don't win any money.
I think it was about 5 or 6 games that got into the final of it, and all of the games that were in the final are guaranteed a prize of some kind. So the top game wins 100,000, and then
there's the top prize, and then there's the 5 for sort of excellence in, and then the field.
They're announcing the results at some games festival somewhere, but I can't remember where or when, because I can't get the data up at the moment.
Oh, yeah, I think it's major, whatever it is.
Yeah, so they'll...
Sorry, it's the Game Developers Conference, isn't it? GDC.
GDC. So if they announce the result at GDC, I'm not sure when that is. One thing to note about the formerly 2B Games, now IndiePub Games competition, is that Game Maker Games have won prizes in it before. Save the Planet won $2,500 last year, and in another contest, Climb to the Top of the Castle won $10,000. So
that won the main prize, didn't it?
Yeah, it won, but now the main prize is 10 times larger. So, Game Maker Games are doing quite well in it, so hopefully we'll see some more success there in the future.
I played the demo, it was pretty good.
When you say pretty good, you mean sort of
good? I thought it got kind of boring. Like, I don't know, I'm not really into the whole platform games that kind of go everywhere. Like, I like Mario, but not, I didn't really like this type. Because it was kind of just, you go somewhere, sweep, go somewhere, sweep. Just got kind of boring. Yo-Yo Games are on Twitter. Yo-Yo Games App Store. Oh, App Store. That seems interesting.
Yeah, the App Store is appstore.yoyogames.com. The only thing there at the moment is the Game Maker for Mac, which you can buy for $25 and read all the spammy comments.
You can post comments?
Yeah, you can, and lots of the comments come from damaged account, which I assume has been hacked, because there are adverts for erectile dysfunction drugs and random things, and mostly Viagra, actually, from slipping through the...
His account was banned, although he... They are on the lookout in case he sort of logs on a GMC or whatever and suddenly goes, what the hell happened? But that certainly isn't normal damaged. I guess his account is damaged. But no, I can't say anything about that. All I can say is look on the blog, just keep your eye on it. Then when we're ready to start accepting things or whatever, then...
You'll get a deluge of requests from games that aren't very good, I expect.
Yeah, well, we're prepared for that. That has been discussed, and we're sort of expecting there's going to be quite a few that are pretty much rejected to get out.
Yo-Yo Games created a Twitter account probably about a month or so back, which is at Yo-Yo Game Maker, where they started to post the results of every single game getting into the competition on earlier, which was going to flood my feed, but... They just use it to post updates of blog posts, really. That's pretty much it so far. So follow it if you're interested. It's, at Yo-Yo Game Maker.
Yeah, I've noticed that Twitter follows loads of Scottish people because Kirsty uses it.
I wonder why,
Well...
Well, they're based in Wales, so it makes sense.
Yeah, obviously. Are they going to employ everyone from Real Time Worlds? It seems like they are.
No, they're not. it just so happens that, I mean, with such a large team that suddenly sort of... Well, if you just think about it, it works perfectly, really. Yo-Yo Games needs to employ certain people in certain areas, and Real Time Worlds has suddenly let go certain people in certain areas.
Yeah, I did think it was... I know lots of people that... Yo-Yo have worked at Real Time in the past, if not necessarily just recently, but...
Yeah.
So they probably have connections there, know who the good people are, and if they're just coming out of work, they don't have to leave Dundee, so...
But it is just convenient, really. A lot of those people are going to have to be moving, like, even to different countries, perhaps, which is mostly the nature of the business. I mean, Real Time Worlds was probably one of the biggest game-making companies on the world. And if people are going to be looking to get jobs in that sort of same stance, they might be having to move into America or Japan. If they get an opportunity to stay in Dundee, and even if it means sacrificing a few grand a year, it's a guaranteed job.
Thank you for listening to this episode of GM Talk. On today's show, we've had Andrew, Jack, Josh, Zach, and myself, Philip. Follow GameMaker Blog on Twitter to find out when our next show is released. Thank you for listening.